Okay, let's read our scripture for today. Sound good? Oh boy. We're going to get there. I'm trying to drag you along with me. Look on the back of your bulletins. On the back of that is today's scripture. Take a look at that as we start. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" I hear this every day, actually, in my house. But my kids don't call me Lord yet. I mean, tell her to help me. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." All right, it's the New Year's. Happy New Year. How many of you guys celebrate New Year's? It's a big deal. Anybody do like a big celebration on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? All right, good to know. Okay, yeah, one person. That was great. Very cool. It's that kind of, it's like, oh, there's another one after Christmas, I feel like, to me at times. Anybody here stay up until midnight? Pacific Standard Time. Or wherever you were. Okay, that's pretty good. I'm actually impressed. I was going to see how many people in our church had a life and was cool, and I'm actually pretty surprised. You guys all know. I did not stay up. I did not make it till midnight. I haven't done that in years. I'm old, and I'm just exhausted all the time. That's what it feels like, at least. I did stay up pretty late. We went out with some friends, and then we did like the 9 p.m. East Coast ball drop, right? That's the only thing I can do. And now that we can get a live feed from the East Coast, I'm like, what reason? What reason do I have to stay up this late at my house, right? It's always seemed arbitrary. It always seems like, yay, it's tomorrow now. But I know it's another year. I know all of that, but I'm always, but we got home and put the kids to bed, and then Charlotte came out like around like 10:30 or 10:45, and I was like, I can't fall asleep. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So I went in there to kind of lay her down, cuddle with her, and see if I can help her kind of fall asleep. And lately, all through December, this is the first time she's ever done this. She's just turned 11 now. And all through December, she wanted to have music on in her room all the time. Which, like, I'm a total music guy. That's like me. I'm always listening to music. And Charlotte was always, like, quiet. She's like, "Can you turn that off right now? I need to think." It's like, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So she wanted music constantly in her room. And so but it was Christmas music. She wanted only Christmas music. She was like, right, this is, I don't know what she did, but she's like, I'm a Christmas person now. And so she wanted all Christmas music. So I found this old little junk, you know, little radio, like what's it called, clock alarm radio kind of thing, and it has the AM, FM, so I got it on 103.3, anybody listen to that all Christmas season? Yes, all Christmas, all the time, right? It was awesome. We go in there, and she literally had it on from, like, December, or, like, the day after Thanksgiving until, like, now. It's, like, stayed on 103.3, and what you guys know, they keep playing Christmas music up until New Year's Eve. I don't know if you know that. They keep playing Christmas music on 103 until like after Christmas. So it's sad. I don't know if you hear Christmas music on after Christmas. It's sad to me when I hear it. It's like, oh, we shouldn't talk about them. They're gone. They're not with us. It's what it feels like. Christmas is like over, you know? So it's now not Christmas music, and now it's back to 103.3. How many? It's okay. I grew up listening. I grew up listening to 103.3 as the old person's radio station. I don't know if you guys grew up in Portland, but it's the easy listening soft rock. And this song came on as I'm laying in bed with my daughter, and I'm thinking, I have to change the channel now. There's no way I want her to grow up listening to Richard Marx over and over. Do you guys remember this song? Okay, so I'm in my bed, I'm in her bed, laying down, listening to this song, and it comes on, and I have this vivid, like, distinct memory, you guys, of, like, and I hadn't thought about it in years, of being, I'm not exaggerating, exactly her age, 11 years old, so I was in fifth grade, and that Christmas, I had got a keyboard for Christmas, the same keyboard that Dean and Beth have, this old, what is it, Casio? Casio. Anyway, it's a garbage old little, but I remember laying in my parents' bed, couldn't sleep, just like my daughter, and this song came on, and that piano part, that bing, 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 and I remember thinking, I could learn this song with piano. And I tried it. I learned it, and I figured it out. As I'm laying in bed with Charlotte, I'm just like, I can't avoid it. I don't know if it was the moment. I don't know if it was New Year's Eve, right? Everything in the past is gone, and now we're in the future. And I'm like, it's the same. It's just the same. I don't know. Do you guys ever feel? That's how, right? Groundhog's Day might as well be New Year's Day. It's like same year or new year, same year, right? New day, same problems. It's all the same. I don't know what it is. But oftentimes I feel like that, especially when I'm asking or there is this moment of a new year, there's this moment of a fresh start. Charles Lamb, a famous author, made a phrase famous that says, everybody has two birthdays, the day they're born and New Year's Day, right? It's like, yeah, nothing's happened. It's a fresh start. We can do it. This is our opportunity to change and to grow and to do something different, not just a loop. Not just again. I'm off the Facebook. Anybody on the Facebook? I'm off the Facebook. I wasn't ever really on the Twitter or the Instas, but now I am on the Reddit. I don't know if you were on the Reddit. If you heard of the Reddit, everybody either is like, "Oh no, don't," or they're like, "Yeah, yeah." It's something like that, and I'm in somewhere in the middle of it. But there was a subreddit as I'm laying in bed with my daughter, listening to this song, cuddling her, trying to get her to fall asleep in the same way I was trying to fall asleep. And the same song, this loops. It just kind of had this. There's a whole subreddit called Perfect Loops. Anybody know about this? I'm going back to the back. I'm going to go on the audio and to the video. So I'm going to show you guys some of the loops because I don't know about you, but as I looked at these, I swear some of these made me feel exactly like maybe this is what New Year's is really about. I don't know about this. Maybe this is what your 2019 is. I got a point. I'm going for it. I'm going to get there. I am going to reach that point. Just got to focus in. I'm going to keep my eyes exactly on where I'm going. One day. No, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't try and distract me. I got this. Anybody else feel that way? Maybe this is the goal. Maybe this is the goal, right? You realize, look, life's challenging. And it's all about balance. It's all about timing. You just got to, if I can just stay in the pocket this year, this is my year. When really, this might be your year. Just, maybe that's classic, more really what our 2019 will look like over and over. Let's see. Unfortunately, Reddit does not sort these in order of my sermon illustrations, so I'm going to need to go down. There's a couple that are helpful. Maybe, this one. This one feels like parenting. I don't know if... Every time I think, oh, I got this figured out. Here we go. It's all like this. Almost. Once I got it, I'm like, yes, I know what 9-year-olds are like. I'm like, she's 11 now? Dang it. And there's never a moment where I got it all quite perfectly lined up. This actually, though, is what pastoring is like. It's just a sequence of perfect spirals and just everything in perfect accord. And maybe this is your goal for 2019. I know it's going to rain. I know it's going to be hard, but if I could just balance it right, I can dance between the raindrops. This is my year. A lot of cat memes on Reddit. I don't know if you noticed. Maybe this is it. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, but if I can just get my timing right, if I can just have it balanced, I will never be out of the pocket, out of place. I just got to get it right. Or maybe you say, okay, I know what it's like. It's just I got to get through this wave. Once I crash through this one, smooth sailing on the other side, no big deal. Okay, one more wave, no big deal. Once I crash through this one, though, this will be the final wave, and now it's smooth, no big deal. Okay, one more, no big deal. Here we go. Anybody else feel like that? Maybe this is you. I got a lot of balls in the air, man. Don't distract me. Try not to, don't look over here. I only got one paddle, and I got to do all this, you know? Or this one I love. Because this feels like I got a destination in mind, and I will stop. Don't worry. I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to rest. I just got to get there. As soon as I get there, I'll slow down. I think it's on the left or on the right. Or maybe this is what you feel like. You feel like, I am constantly working just so I can keep working. Ah! Anybody else feel like that? Maybe that's just your face right there. That's okay, I'm not going to this loop, but you get the point. How many of you guys feel like this next year, please God, don't let it be the same as this last year? Where am I going? What am I stuck in? Am I in a loop? This year can really be whatever we want it to be. I'll say that again. This year, for you, can be whatever you want it to be. Now, I know we can't control everything. We can't control what happens. We can't control what happens to us. But we can control what happens in us. We can control who we are becoming. Today, as we're continuing our series called Gospel, we have a very famous story this morning, right? Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to their home to eat and to share with them. We have two characters in the story, Martha and Mary. Any of you feel like I'm the Mary? Okay, it's all right. That's good. That's good. Good job, guys. That was a test, because you're not. I'm just kidding. It's a great story. It's a really good story. Anyone here willing to admit that you have said exactly what Martha has said at one point, right? Exactly. Don't you care that I'm doing all the work? What is wrong with people, right? What is wrong with you? I'm doing all this stuff. How many of you have someone immediately in mind when you read Mary's story? You're like, yeah, my sister was like that. I remember. Or somebody, oh, that's exactly like Karen in accounting or whatever, right? Somebody you know, you immediately go, yeah. A couple things first. It's such an interesting story. This is one that we can all relate to on a couple different ways and a couple different factors, but we can all really relate to this story. And a couple things first. What Martha was doing was good. Martha, who was busy working, busy making the house right, taking care of people's needs, it was good. She was being a good host and playing an important role culturally and practically in that house. She's trying to perform her role in the house culturally, and even now we would say, yeah, like, that's good. Somebody's got to do the dishes, man. Come on, we can't all just play. Somebody's got to be busy actually taking care of stuff. But that's the thing. Sometimes the stuff we're busy with, sometimes the stuff that we're distracted by is actually really good. Like some of the stuff that we are being pulled and compelled to be working on, to be busying ourselves with, is actually really good. And some of you, because of your personality types, because of this the way you are built, you have a matrix in your head that says, God wants me to do good things. Here's something that's good. Therefore, God wants me to do this, right? Some of you have that matrix. And when you try and say, no, I mean, you feel so guilty. You feel so bad. You look around, you're like, I'm not following God, because the only way I know how to follow God is just do everything good always. And whenever there's a need in front of me, I gotta help. I gotta do my part. Otherwise, there's no value. There's no place for me. All this time, man, all of this, all of us, many of us carry this around with us. We say, I have to make sure everybody's got a cup of tea. I gotta make sure everybody has a place to sit. I gotta make sure the house is tidy so that Jesus can do what he wants to do. I need to help him out. You can see how easy it is to say that what Martha was doing was good because what she's doing is good. Like, it's not bad. If Martha was like catcalling from the back, or like, is it catcalling is the wrong word? What is it? Heckling. What's catcalling? That's something else. Like, hey, Jesus. I don't know what. That would be a fairly odd thing for her to be doing. If she was heckling, we'd go, yeah, Martha's bad, Mary's good. But Martha's doing good things. It's really, really good. But that matrix that you might have is untrue, you guys. It's untrue. It is flawed. If you think everything good all the time is what God wants me to do, it's just wrong. It's untrue, very patently, at least from this story, because it doesn't take into account that God wants relationship with us. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him, so that in that context, the good that you ought to do will be clear to you, because you have spent the time at his feet, metaphorically listening, learning, and knowing who he is. Not just all the good all the time, because that's what God has called me to. No. First, we have to recognize what Martha is doing is actually good, but whether something is good or not isn't the lesson from Jesus here today. Second thing that we can learn from this is that some of us still have this belief that this is where our value comes from. Like I said, this is where some of us believe, like, if I don't do this, what good am I? What possible good am I if I'm not doing good in this world? Some of you, we believe what we're doing, what we're producing, what we are contributing to this world, that's why I'm valuable. That's why I have to contribute and give to God. It's what I do. And this is a completely untrue thing as well. This is so untrue, patently untrue. This is what God says about you. And every line of this is from the scriptures. This is pretty long, but I want you to listen to who you are, not what you do. This is who you are. Listen. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are my fearfully and wonderfully made creation. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I brought you forth on the day you were born, and I have been misrepresented by those who do not know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider. I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sands on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more than you could possibly imagine, for I am your great encourager. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you, even as I love my son Jesus, for in Jesus my love for you is revealed, and he is the exact representation of my being. And he came to demonstrate that I am for you and not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that I could love, you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. That is what God says about us. That's what God says about you. That's who he is. That's his character. And that's our relationship with him. It starts there. Complete love. Complete value. We don't have to do anything. God is pleased with you right now. Who you are, that's your value. That's where your value comes from. What did God say to Jesus when the Spirit descended on him like a dove? He says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. What had Jesus done up to that point? Like, zero. He had no disciples, no teachings, nothing. He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't done anything at all. He starts being pleased. God is pleased with you right now. It's not about what you do. That does not accomplish or add to you in any form value. That is not your value. Your value is who you are as a creation of the great creator. Now, your purpose might be different. And we're going to see that in Jesus' teachings down the road. Your purpose and place here is to contribute. It is to create, and it is to be a part of this world and the reconciliation of all things. But that is not where your value comes from. Does that make sense? It starts here, and it goes there. There are a lot of extremely successful people, that are working, that have changed the world, done so many amazing, great, good, and influential things in this world, and they lived and died in agony and pain and misery because they never knew who they, what their value was. Their value is, what do I do? What do I do? What am I going to do? Where am I going? What am I going to get? What am I going to create? We have to start knowing that we're valued and then find what our purpose is as we continue on this life. So we see in this story a couple tasks. You know, I'm going to tell you, this week has been, this has been a really good passage for me to be studying this week. I've had a really crappy week, you guys. Like, this is the worst year of my life so far. You know, it's okay. Oh my gosh. First, you guys, some of you guys might know we're in the middle of transition downstairs with our pub. We're kind of in this weird structure, our classification as a business. We're a business, but we're a nonprofit. We're a nonprofit, but we're not tax exempt. We're a charity, but we don't take any donations. We only do sales. So we're this odd entity. We made it up as we went along, okay? And this point down the road, the rules we made up, we're finding out aren't rules. Those are not rules. There's laws are over here. So we're going, ah, crap. We are being compelled right now to transition some stuff. We've been working with the Department of Justice on what the actual guidelines would look like for an entity type of ours and how do we structure ourselves accordingly and accurately within that. Pick a lane is kind of the thing. So we're changing over some of the structures, trying to adhere to some of the government's guidelines and their rule books. And I found myself, literally this happened this week, I found myself sitting in a conference room, a big conference room in downtown Portland in this big high-rise building, sitting in this big plush chair, this giant table, looking out at all the buildings downtown, as a lawyer leaned back in his chair like this, looking up at the sky, and he says, you know, yeah, I think if we do this, this will get the DOJ off your back. And I heard that phrase, and I was looking at where I was, and I was like, what have I done? How do I have the DOJ on my back? How am I in this room? Like, what? You know me, guys. Like, what in the world has happened in this? I've made mistakes. This is what I felt like. How did I get here? That was the first thing that occurred on Tuesday. That was the second day of the year. And then on Wednesday, I got a call from the fire marshal. And if for a restaurant owner, the fire marshal is like the Grim Reaper. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like you can plead and you can beg all you want, but death's coming. You know, it's like, like I got nothing. I know what he wants my soul. It is so scary. It is so scary. They literally have the power to just shut down anything at any time. And apparently, so here's what happened. Last week, a couple weeks ago, we had an inspection. They always do their, we've had many inspections over the years. We had an inspection by a brand new kid, brand new fire marshal. First time, right? I talked with him on the phone. He's like, I'm brand new to this, so not good. He came in and he saw some things and we fixed them. Kyle, we worked on them. And then he came back, and he came back this time with his boss, like the head fire marshal, as like a teaching moment to show this kid all the things that he missed on a business like ours. Whatever, there was a few little things here and there, but there was one big thing, and that is basically our square footage downstairs is big, bigger than what's allowed for a certain occupancy code. Even though these are the plans submitted years back and approved by them, we're at this place where they literally are going, oh yeah, we might have made a mistake, so I guess you guys will have to fix it. And it is, it's potentially just catastrophic for us. And I don't know, this week I'm studying this and I'm working on all this stuff, and so, you know, I do what Martha would do. I get the call and I'm like, and I'm running around and I'm just trying to get on the phone with everybody I can, going downtown to the city, looking at our old plans, talking with architects and permit people, anything that I can. I'm working my butt off. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying to get it all fixed, you know, like get this thing in place, and I can't stop. I felt like that this week. As I was reading, as I was studying, I kept telling God, like, I can't right now. Like, there's too much to do, God. I don't know. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever said those words? Oh, man. This week I have been forced. I have been, he has made me lie down in green pastures. You know what I mean? You ever get to a place where you just can't go? You can't, I can't do anything anymore. I got no, I'm here and there's no more left on the, like, I can't push this bar up. There is something when God makes us stop and just remember this isn't on us, this isn't on me. I can't fix, I can't create, I can't change. I can simply just sit and stop. And I've been forced to stop and sit at his feet this week, and I've been forced to say, God, please, please, please help me. I want to know you. I need you. And I'll tell you what, the more I study, the more I understand this story, the more I see that sometimes this is exactly what God does in our lives, you guys. This is exactly what God does. He does whatever he has to do to remind you of what's really important in this life. It's not your success on anybody else's books of what it looks like. It's not all the things. I've been really confronted with what is this really all about? What do I really want in this life and in this world? It's as I'm looking at this, you know, I'm sure that Martha knew what was important stuff. And even if it is good stuff, the important things, God, I know it's important. What's distracting you right now? Have you taken time to sit at the feet of Jesus? Have you stopped in prayer and meditation in a moment of remembering, of centering? Have you taken just a moment to listen? We live in a world of constant distraction. You know, I'm off the Facebook, but I'm on the Reddit. It's just as distracting. It's just as, like, addictive. It takes so much energy these days to get away, to stop, to be still, to be silent. And if there's one thing I see in this story, there's one thing that I understand. It's the interaction between Jesus and Mary, and it's the presence of her presence there. She is present. She is still. She is with Jesus, stopped, listening. Why is silence so hard for us to deal with? 183 million people are regularly exposed to noise levels labeled as excessive by the EPA. Do you have a phone? Do you have a TV? Do you have a computer? Do you have do you have to sleep with the radio on all night? do you have one on at work or in the car? Do you listen to headphones all the time? That's what I do. My earpods, man. Do you constantly feel the need to be distracted? Do you feel like God is distant? Do you wish God's voice would be louder in your life? Is there a connection between the amount of noise and distraction in your life and your inability to hear and receive from God in the way that you want to? Try this. We're going to do this. Make yourself comfortable in your chair. Everybody sit back. We're going to take a moment. I'd like to have the band come up. Jesus' invitation to us is the same as his invitation to Mary and Martha. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you spent the same amount of time worrying and talking about your difficult, confusing situations as you've spent in silence listening to what God would have you do? I don't have 3 extra days this week to do that, so that's how I felt. Do you spend as much time, like, stopping your brain from trying to fix it and pausing and listening? Why is it so much easier to talk than to listen? When was the last time you were in a solitary place? What is it about stopping and quieting ourselves that's so hard? Why is it easier to surround ourselves with distractions and to keep moving than to stop, rest, and listen? Does my schedule, does my time, my life look like that of a person who really wants to hear from God, to know him well? On the back of your bulletins, there's those questions. Why don't you take a look as this song plays? Let's take a moment to pause and to ask ourselves these questions. Let's see if we can listen. Mm-hmm. 2019 is going to be like. Not for me, and certainly not for you. But I know that what we can control is us, myself, where I'm going, the true me, not my situations. What kind of person do I want to become this year? Regardless of circumstance, regardless of responsibilities, regardless of success or failure, I'm choosing for 2019. I'm choosing what is better. I'm choosing Jesus. Lord, help us to choose you in 2019. As we turn to you, whatever our circumstances, good, bad, rejoicing or mourning, grief or celebration, help us to turn to you, Jesus, this year. This is your year. We give it to you. Will you stand with us as we sing this song? We'll end here.
'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn will be our delight till by turning, turning we come round right. Tis a gift to be simple, tis a gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where we are to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow till by turning, turning, we come round right.
We sing when true simplicity is gained.
When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, turning we come round right.
Amen. And Ryan was talking about, as everything in life is encouraging us to be more than we are, to have more attention than we have, to have more energy than we have, to give more than we have in all of these different ways. To hear God calling us to simplicity is such a freeing thing. Could we hold hands and bless one another?
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up.
upon you and give you his peace. Peace.